if there's anything, any issue that you are concerned about, let's not be quick to pass judgment. Let's not be quick to have false assumption. Let's take the time to converse, to clarify, to communicate.
That was Pastor Ariel Marquez, one of our pastors in Victory and Every Nation Philippines, and one of our monthly Every Nation Philippines staff meetings.
We're coming out of pandemic. The hardest time to lead is leading out of crisis. It's leading out of the pandemic. It's not the same anymore as pre-pandemic things. That's why we need to ask the Lord for His divine wisdom on how to do this.
Welcome to the Leading Together podcast, where we take an inside look at how we develop a leadership culture at Victory and Every Nation Philippines. We hope this helps you lead better together with others, wherever God has called you to lead. I'm Ryan, I'm part of our staff in Victory and Every Nation. We're glad to have you listen to this episode of Leading Together. Leadership in itself is already challenging, but leading out of a crisis is a whole different story. There are a lot of transitions, emotions, and expectations that need to be managed. That's why, more than ever, clear communication is vital. Listen to Pastor Ariel as he talks about the importance of communication as we navigate the tensions we face as we lead together.
In the last days of Joshua, he was encouraging the Israelites, and I'm going to be focusing on Joshua chapter 22 particularly, but a little bit of the highlight in the ending part of Joshua chapter 21. And the reality of the promise, and we're familiar with the promised land, how God has promised a land to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he used Moses to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. And now a new leader by the name of Joshua led them inside the promised land after crossing the River Jordan. And we see that the reality of receiving the promised land can be seen in three parts. Number one is there's possession. Everybody say possession. Hindi ito yung nadidiman possession, okay? Ito yung, you're actually taking over the land. And I believe that there are enemies in the land that they conquered. It requires tenacity. It requires courage to win. Many times when we go into a campus or a new city, when we do church plant, what we're doing there is we're taking possession of the city. We're taking possession of the land. We're actually serving it. We're praying for it. And then we're asking the Lord, Lord, give us this land. We're asking the Lord, Lord, give us a harvest in this campus. It's taking possession of that campus. It's taking possession of that city. In fact, as a pastor for about 20 years in the same city, I don't just consider myself as a pastor of the local church. I consider myself as the pastor of the city. I'm asking the Lord for our city. I'm not just shepherding the people who are inside Festival Mall and Acacia Hotel. I am pastoring the city of Muntinlupa. I am pastoring Alabang. I am pastoring the different barangays in Poblacion, in Tunasay. I'm asking, Lord, give us a harvest. Give us a harvest in the different campuses. Give us those that are not yet part of our church. I am pastoring the city. And I'm asking the Lord, Lord, help us to take possession of this land. Second thing about the receiving of the promised land is allocation. How many of you know that it's ultimately God who gives us the allocation of our land? Amen. It's not Pastor Jansen or VMM. It's not that. Of course, there are natural boundaries in our cities. But how many of you know that God gives us boundaries in pleasant places? Amen. And that campus that is in front of you, that you're commuting every day, claim it and ask the Lord, Lord, allocate that campus for us in the name of Jesus. Come on now. And Lord, asking that you allocate, Lord, we're asking the Lord to give us that campus. So it's the Lord's job to allocate this. And during the conquest comes the distribution of the land. Of course, we're familiar with Joshua giving the distribution of the 12 tribes. Ultimately, he divided the tribe of Joseph into two, Manasseh and Ephraim. And the Levites, the tribe of Levi, don't have an allocation of the land. The Lord was ultimately their inheritance. Of course, we don't have modern day Levites, but the Levites are those that serve in the temple. Siguro kung ipo-fast forward natin, kung pareho pa rin yung Old and New Testament, baka tayo siguro yung modern day Levites. Okay? And the Lord is our inheritance. And lastly is the word expansion. Everybody say expansion. Ultimately, it's, you know, Joshua was getting old and there were still lands to conquer. In Joshua chapter 13, verse 1, it says, when Joshua was an old man, the Lord said to him, you are growing old. Look at the person beside you. Hindi ko alam kung si Joshua, si Moses, or yung judges. Okay, hindi ko alam, okay? But yun yun eh. We're getting old, guys. Konti lang. But we're getting wiser. Amen. We're getting old. We're getting those gray hair. We're losing our hairs. Okay, sorry. And we're getting wiser. Joshua was an old man. The Lord said to him, you are growing old. It was the Lord. Diniktik pa kay Joshua. Tanda mo na. And much land remains to be conquered. I realize that we cannot just sit down and rest on what we already have. There are still lands to be taken over. Amen. And it's interesting that the allocation has been over, but yet, as I was reading, for example, in the book of Judges, Judges chapter 15, the tribe of Dan was still trying to get their allocation of the land, even until post-Joshua time. Expansion still happens, even if the allocation already has been over. And the reality of this is we can see that in multiple generations, there are two words that we need to emphasize. Continuity. Everybody say continuity. And unity. Amen. It is God who gives us the vision and the promised land. But how many of you know that it took multiple generations for them to conquer the land? It took several generations for the nation of Israel to conquer, occupy, enjoy, and basically distribute the land. From the time of Joshua to the time of Moses, and then Joshua, and then the children of Israel after the different tribes. But yet we see that God's hand was upon the nation of Israel. We will see that in Joshua chapter 21, 43 to 45, three times, the statement the Lord gave was repeated. Three times. Joshua 21, verse 43, it says, so the Lord gave Israel. Everybody say, the Lord gave. We see that God's hand has always been involved in His nation. God's hand has always been involved among His children. Amen. How many of you see the God's hand in your life? The Lord gives. The Lord gives. In fact, Job said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, ultimately. What's our attitude in looking at the sovereign hand of God in our lives? The Lord gives. God's generous to us. Verse 43, the Lord gave Israel all the land He sworn, all the land He promised to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. In the next verse, we see that statement again. The Lord gave them rest. Everybody say rest. How many of you need rest? It's the Lord who gives rest. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as He had sworn to their ancestors. We see this statement again. Just as He had promised. He gave them the land. He gave them possession. He gave them rest. Just as He has promised. Not one of their enemies withstood them. And then we see this word again. The Lord what? Gave. The Lord gave all their enemies in their hands. Three times. The Lord gave them the land, the Lord gave them rest, and the Lord gave them all the enemies. In fact, they were not the enemies among themselves. The Lord gave them the enemies to conquer into their hands. Verse 45, not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled. And how many of you know that we serve a God who is faithful? Come on now. A God who's fulfilling every promise that He has for us personally, for us as a church, as a ministry, and I believe as a nation as well. In the story of Joshua, we notice the importance of nation building as planned by God from the time of Moses when He put leaders over the people and receiving the Ten Commandments. It's always been setting up. You know, for example, in Exodus chapter 18, we see the father-in-law of Joshua, of Moses, giving him an advice to choose leaders who will lead them, leaders over thousands, over hundreds, over fifties, over tens. That's Exodus chapter 18, setting up almost a national government. And then a chapter after that, God gave them the Ten Commandments, their constitution. God has always in His mind wanted to set up the nation of Israel. We see that from the time of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. I will make you a great nation, the Bible says. God wanted a nation out of Abraham. And yet they were addressed as tribes during the time of Joshua in reference to what they were tasked to take possession of. But they were addressed as a nation, as a whole community of Israel. They have a common identity, a common mission, and a common worship unto the Lord. Now, I want to focus on just two things on this. In chapter 22, it says in verse 1, "And at that time, Joshua summoned the Reubenites and the Gadites and a half-tribe of Manasseh and said to them, 'You have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you and have obeyed my voice in all that I have commanded you.'" In fact, Joshua during this time was giving a thank you speech to the 2.5 tribes, to the tribe of Reuben, to the tribe of Gad, to the tribe of half tribe of Manasseh, because they went with their brothers. They were considered the eastern tribes, and they went to the west after the Jordan in order for them to fight alongside their brothers. Remember that story? What Joshua was saying is, okay, you've got your inheritance. Now, walang iwanan. Look at the person beside you and tell that person, walang iwanan. Let's fight together. Let's fight alongside one another. And so they were together. They went on the other side. They had no interest on the left side of the Jordan. But they were given honor and He was thanking them. In Joshua in chapter 22, verse 3, "You have not forsaken your brothers this many days, down to this day. But I've been very careful to keep the charge of the Lord your God." And what was the charge? Take possession of the land. They have a common mission and a common vision given to them by God. They didn't desert their brothers. They walked with them to the very end, until they're able to go back to their own territory and have rest. And we see here the priority of nation over tribes. How it was given as a focus that you are fighting not as 12 tribes, you're fighting as one nation. And they are to help their brothers fight together till the very end. And we see here multiple generations going out. See young and old, the Joshuas and the Calebs, together with the young ones who were born after Egypt. They were taking possession of the land until the very end. Tribes are important as well. How many of you know that tribes are important? There's an identity that God gives us in the local churches as tribes. Importante yon. It's important because they can address the local needs and they know the nuances of dealing with specific problems among their group, people group and ethnicities. Mahalaga yon. I don't think the national government, if so to speak, can actually address that. There's so much autonomy as well happening in the local level. Tribes can be very adaptive to the well-being of their people. Kung anong kailangan at this time, you can readily address that because of the tribes. And each tribe is unique and has its own cultural expression. What's interesting is the Philippines has about 134 different ethnic groups. God established for him a nation. Abraham was a nation. The tribes occurred eventually after the third generation, Jacob. The sons of Jacob became those 12 tribes. It's like one nation with many tribes, have like one body with many parts, and one church with many locations. But we're not talking about a national central government here in every nation. We're talking about unity as a whole. Verse 4, bibilis ako na, okay? And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brothers as he promised, and then turn and go to your tents into the land where your possession lies, where Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. It was Joshua who was telling the 2.5 tribes, go to your part now. Thank you so much. Now you can find rest. Thank you for helping your brothers. In verse 5, only be careful to observe, binilina niya. Be careful to observe in the law that the Moses, the servant of the Lord God, commanded to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, and to cling to him and to serve him. Because you're on the other side of the Jordan, malayo kayo, make sure you keep the commandments of God. Same admonition that was given to the 9.5 tribes on the western side. So if you have a perspective, this is a picture of Israel, and you see that there are 12 tribes. Ayun. 12 tribes, and you see that on the eastern side, on the right side, are the 2.5 tribes, Manasseh, Gad, and Reubenites. But on the western side of the Jordan, that straight line, are the 9.5 tribes. So Joshua sent them out, he blessed them, and he sent them away, and they went to their tents. Sabi niya ngaron, okay, mag-away-away, verse 8, go back to your tents with as much wealth, and with as much livestock, with silver, gold, bronze, and iron, and with much clothing, divide your spoil of your enemies with your brothers. The one who went out for war has the same share with the one who stayed behind. But yet, tension begins when they went back to that territory. Verse 10, it says, when they came to the region of Jordan, that is in the land of Canaan, the people of Reuben and the people of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by the Jordan, an altar of imposing size. As they were about to cross the Jordan, the 2.5 tribes, they decided, deka guys, one for the road. Let's build an altar. A very big one, an imposing one. And so the tension happened when they did this. When the people of Israel heard about it, those left side, the left western tribes, they said, behold, it was not even Joshua who said this. It was the other tribes as a whole. They were together. They were united. It was not a top leader who was saying this. They were thinking about one nation already. Hey guys, our brothers, yung kabilang tribes, behold, the people of Reuben, the people of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar in the frontier of the land of Canaan. And the people of Israel heard about it in verse 12. The whole assembly of the people of Israel gathered at Shiloh to what? To make war against them. Because they built an imposing altar. Something that was familiar, but something that was unauthorized. Hindi pwede yan. Wala sa policy yan eh. Hindi normal yan. So they went there to go and fight and have war against their brothers. The drama unfolds. Tensions develop. How many of you know it's normal to have tensions between tribes? It's normal to have tensions between different localities. It's normal to have tensions between different departments. In fact, even in our own department, may tension na nga eh. Wala. Ah, wala pala. Sobrang peaceful nga natin. But how do we deal with tensions? Communication and clarification through conversation. Not assumptions and judgments. Because inassume nila, this guy is kumakalas. And so they confronted the other tribes. Guys, why are you doing this? They were ready to go to war. In verse 15, and they came to the people of Reuben, God, the 2.5 tribes, and they said, thus saith, not the Lord, but thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord. What is this breach of faith that you have committed against the Lord of Israel in turning away this day from following the Lord by building yourselves an altar in rebellion against the Lord? What's interesting is before they engaged in war, they clarified, they conversed, and they met. Last week, on my way here to EN, I was in high spirits. I was about to have a meeting with Senator Pastor Gilbert. So I was driving on SLEX after going out of my house, MCX, SLEX. It was a bit of a jam. But okay lang, it was smooth. And then I turned left. And I remember using my left signal light in order to go to the overtaking lane of the SLEX before Muntinlupa. And as I was turning left, there was a car in my back, a little SUV, who was honking his horn. And I said, ang yabang naman ito. Nag-signal naman ako. Ayaw kong palustin. He was about 20 meters away from me. It was far. But he saw me turning left and I felt like he didn't want me to overtake. So he was honking his horn. Not just once, but twice. 3 times. Iba sa inyo, meron ng sunod. And so I ignored it. I just looked at the rearview mirror and then I sped off a little bit. And then he chased me. Aba, sabi ko. So, he actually caught up on the right side and then he honked his horn again. Gagak! Sabi ko, ah, okay. This is it. I actually put down my 2 windows on the right. I was alone eh. I was driving on the left. I put it down on the, sa baba. Ginanukol, pinaba ko yung 2 windows on the right. And I saw him chasing me. And then he said, boss, flat. And then I said, chief, thank you. So this is a picture of the flat tire on SLEX that he was pointing and that he saw from a distance and he was trying to save me from disaster. The good old me is saying, ang yabang nito. Until I had a quick conversation via signals that guy, mafaflatan ka, and naflat ka na pala, pull over so that you can be safe. I made a wrong assumption and a wrong judgment because I'm so used to motorists acting bad on the road. And I realized that many times we can have a mistake as well with our judgments, with our assumptions. Guess what? It's more than meets the eyes. Let's have a conversation. Let's not make false assumptions. Let's not be quick to pass judgment. I mean, we have a bigger agenda to do. And our job in itself is already high pressure. It's high pressure. We're dealing with things that are beyond the temporary. We're dealing with eternal things. High pressure. Verse 21. Tapatapos na ako, promise. Few minutes. Then the people of Reuben, the people of God, and the half-tribe of Manasseh said in answer to the heads of the families of Israel. Verse 24, no! Everybody say no. They clarified. But we did it for fear that in time to come, your children might say to our children, what have you done to do with the Lord, the God of Israel? For the Lord has made the Jordan a boundary between us and you. You people of Reuben and people of God, you have no portion in the Lord, so that your children might make our children cease to worship the Lord. The eastern tribes were merely thinking of the future generations. That's why they did that. And it had to take that conversation and that clarification in order for them to not engage into war. They had the right motive. Pero wrong assumption yung kabilang tribe. Therefore, we said, let us now build an altar not for burnt offering, nor for sacrifice, but to be a witness between us and you and between your generation after us, that we do perform the service of God in the presence of so on and so forth. Verse 31, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, not even Joshua was leading this thing. A next generation leader was leading this thing. Said to the people, today, everybody say today, today we know that the Lord is in our midst because you have not committed this breach of faith against the Lord. Now you have delivered the people of Israel from the hand of the Lord. A conversation and clarification cleared the issues that were raised. In the future, guys, if there's anything, any issue that you are concerned about, let's not be quick to pass judgment. Let's not be quick to have false assumption. Let's take the time to converse, to clarify, to communicate. We're coming out of pandemic. The hardest time to lead is leading out of a crisis. It's leading out of the pandemic. It's not the same anymore as pre-pandemic things. That's why we need to ask the Lord for his divine wisdom on how to do this. Final thoughts, summary. Number one, Joshua led the continuity of the mission through Moses. There's always a continuity of the mission. The mission will outlive us. Amen. We appreciate our founding generation. Pastor Steve, Bishop Manny, Pastor Ferdy, Pastor June, Bishop Jurey, Pastor Joey, of course, si Pastor Gilbert, Gitnayan. But can we just appreciate our founding generation and thank them? We're still here almost 40 years. Transition is coming. We're preparing for passing on the baton to the next generation of leaders. I'm like in the middle generation, almost there also, senior. A time will come that you guys will lead this church. Look at people around you. Those are the people, those are the team, those are the members who will be leading together. Amen. This church and this ministry is being prepared so that you guys, the younger generation, can lead this. Amen. We're not going to be here forever. That's why we need to make sure that there is continuity. There's unity among us. Let's continue to converse. Let's continue to clarify. Let's continue to communicate. The current generation is always thinking about the future generation. We're thinking about you. We're thinking about you. It's not about us. It's not the Pastor Steve show or Pastor Gilbert or Pastor Bishop Manny show. This is ours. This is our ministry. This is our church. God placed us here. God gave. The hand of God is upon the people and God gave. God was the one who put you here for a reason. Last is, the continuity of the mission involves humility, trust, and continuous conversation between different tribes, multiple generations. We find it in our heart to trust the next generation of leaders who can take this on. And we need to continue to trust one another.
What an encouraging message from Pastor Ariel. We all have a role to play in communicating effectively so we can better pursue God's mission together. Here are some questions that may help you as you reflect and initiate conversations with others about the message that you've just heard. 1. In dealing with tensions, why is it easier for us to make assumptions or judgments right away rather than communicate clearly with each other? 2. What hinders you from communicating clearly and effectively? How can you overcome this challenge? Thanks for listening. If this has been helpful for you, feel free to share and discuss it with someone you think will be encouraged by the podcast. If you are not part of a Victory group yet, visit us at victory.org.ph to find a church near you and get connected. See you in the next episode of Leading Together.